Hello again, students. This is Reverend Calhoun. We're going to be doing our third session on the spirit of honor. I just want to encourage everybody to continue to follow along in your books. You should have gotten or will be getting soon a download of the book by Bishop Tudor Bismarck, The Spirit of Honor. So when you do get it, go ahead and download it and make sure that you have a copy of it on your laptop or your Kindle or your iPad or whatever. That way you can read along, because as I stated before, a lot of my, well, most of my material comes from the book. And when I do come from another book, I will let you know. So I'm going to go ahead and start off with a word of prayer, and then we're going to get into the lesson. Father, we just thank you, Lord God, that this is the day that you have made, and I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. We thank you right now, Lord God, hallelujah, for Apostle Leroy Thompson Sr., the founder and president of Ever Increasing Word Training Ministry, Ever Increasing Word Training Center. And we thank you right now, Lord God, hallelujah, that the classes and the instructors and everybody is anointed to teach the subject matter, and that we're teaching under an apostolic anointing. And Lord, as always, Holy Spirit, I thank you for showing up, because if you don't show up and give me the instruction I need, I'll fall flat on my face. I'm leaning completely and totally on you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we're going to get right into the lesson. In this lesson, we're going to kind of touch on some things we touched on the last two sessions, but we're going to kind of continue forward, because my first four classes are pretty starts off pretty much giving you a strong foundation of what honor is before we get into applications of honor and illustrations of honor and dishonor in the class. And one of the things I want to state and bring out right before we start, I had two students this past Sunday who attended church service, and they really blessed me because they recognized me, and they came and they shared with me how important, how they enjoyed the class, and how they didn't realize how important honor was. And one of the ladies even stated how she got some things straight, you know, where they may have been dishonored, so that she can walk in it. One of the things about my classes is that it's something that you can practically and physically do on a daily basis, you know, and the more you put honor in operation, the more you will be honored. It is important that we understand these terminology of what honor means, because when we begin to deal with the scriptural principles, we will see how there is a lack of honor, reverence, and respect for certain dignitaries in the land, both secular and spiritual dignitaries. One good illustration I always pointed out, even though he's not president anymore, was President Obama. During his reign as office as president of the United States, there was a lot of even spiritual leaders that would not address him as President Obama. They would just simply say Obama. You know, a lot of times you'd heard the word just Obama and not giving him the title and the respect that was due his name. You know, I can remember years ago, my wife and I attended a church here locally, and there was an apostle who was going to be doing a meeting at that church. A matter of fact, it was Apostle T.L. Osborne. And we were just kind of in the beginning stages of learning about honor and respect. And we were always taught that when, you know, a minister gets up to minister or gets on stage and walks onto the pulpit, that you stand up as an act of respect and honor towards him. So when we saw him come to the pulpit, my wife and I, we stood up in the audience. We were about middleways in the congregation or in the audience. And I kind of looked around, and everybody else was just sitting down, you know, and I said, ooh, I can tell that at this church, that's not taught, you know. But what we're aiming to do here at Ever Increasing Word Training Center and the Leroy Thompson, you know, Ministerial Association, is to teach people how to properly sow seeds of honor and how to give respect to the ranks, the levels, and the people that God has put in particular positions of authority. Amen. All right, let me get into some definitions that we talked about last week, but I want to go over them. Okay, the word honor comes from the Anglo-French word honneur. This word also denotes elevations. It came from the Latin word honos, H-O-N-O-S. That means honor. First, this is coming directly from the book by Bishop Tudor Bismarck. First, he said, it's one that has high esteem, or a person who has high esteem, high public esteem. They are people or individuals of high reputation or character. Secondly, these are individuals that have notoriety and recognition because of their accomplishments, okay? And thirdly, these are individuals that have certain privileges or gifts conferred upon them in lieu of their anointings, their gifting, and their rank. And a lot of this is coming from, you know, Ephesians 2 and 20, which talks about, you know, the fivefold ministry gifts. Amen. The word honor also, the root word came also from the word honorarium. Okay. Especially for those in evangelistical circles. You should know what an honorarium is. The word honorarium literally means payment in recognition of one's ministering of the word, payment of services, one's professional service as a minister of the gospel. It also means a fee rendered to a professional person for services rendered. I can remember years ago when I was a student on campus at Southern University, we had a Christmas celebration, and we had ministers coming from various areas ministering during that time period. And this one minister, after he ministered, he and his family got up and left. Now, we did have an honorarium for him, but before I could turn and give it to him, he had already left the facility. So I called him the next day and I said, you left without getting your honorarium. You know, we did have, you know, an offering and an honorarium for you. We don't want to shortchange you by no means. Even at an early age, I was about 21 years old, 20, 21 years old. I knew that was something that needed to be done. Honoring the gift that God has placed in your life, or somebody who's ministering, you want to honor them. He came, he drove 60 something miles to minister at our campus, and we wanted to honor him. But then at the same facility years later, we was having a reunion, and other local ministers and students and people who I was affiliated with at that time had a former student who was now an evangelist come and minister during this reunion. But when it came time to give him an honorarium, one of the ministers said, well, we'll just basically, you know, buy him gas to drive back to Tulsa. And I said, oh, no, uh-uh, that's improper. And they said, well, we were going to just give a collection for the musicians and the singers. I said, no. I said, they're local. You know, I don't have a problem paying them, but you want to first give honor to the man that's ministering the word. And from that point on, I kind of cut ties away from him, because I saw a lack of disrespect and a lack of honor for people in the fivefold ministry. And just because you did it, you know, 10, 15 years ago, no, I've learned and I've grown, and we're not going that route, you know, so that's very important. Most times you can tell if you are honored by the honorarium that you are given. This is something Bishop Tudor Bismarck said here. It says, as a result, in the world today, we have this crazy behavior. I think it's crazy, says the author. Where individuals go and do ministry, and before they ever get there to the place where they are scheduled to minister, there is a 10 to 12 page contract because the individuals that they are going to do ministry for don't understand what it means to honor a gift that's coming to impart into them and their ministries. One of the things Apostle Thompson has taught us over the years, he said, you want to go where you're celebrated and not just tolerated. You know, there are some people who are so audacious enough not to honor a gift that has come to bless them. And like I said, I experienced that, you know, some 10, 15 years ago. And I'm glad I separated myself from people like that, because I don't want dishonor to rub off on me. Amen. So in various places, people go and minister their very best, and the people don't appreciate it by honoring them. It's been reported that people have left a place and never received any financial remuneration. You know, in other words, a reciprocation for what they're ministering. And that was kind of typical of what happened with Jesus. We talked about this, I think it was last week, probably in Matthew 13 and 58. Just like Jesus could not do any mighty works in his hometown because of their unbelief, the apostles' anointing cannot deliver people from financial bondage who don't embrace the prosperity message and don't sow an honor into the anointing that's on his life. You know, that's so very important. The apostolic gift in most cases is not properly honored in its own hometown. This dishonor of the apostolic source has got to change, and it is changing, if we want to experience the full-blown blessing for our lives that the gift has been sent to release to us. I've seen, like I said, tremendous change over the past several years of people who honor a gift like a gift supposed to be honored. And one of the things you're going to understand, and I'm sure you probably sense it already, when I say honor, I'm not just talking about, you know, just standing up. I'm talking about sowing monetary seeds into the man of God, you know, because if you sow your, if he's sowing his spiritual things into us, it's our responsibility to sow our monetary things into him, sowing into the anointing. Amen. This culture is changing. Amen. And this atmosphere is changing. The climate is changing. Hallelujah. From one of dishonor to one of honor. Amen. When there is proper honor shown towards God's government, the fivefold ministry gifts, there is a heaven to earth connection that is established, and God will begin to reciprocate the blessings down from heaven to earth. That word reciprocate is a mathematical term when you talk about the reciprocal, you know, like a 1/5. The reciprocal is 5/1. In other words, it reverses. When you sow into him your monetary gift, he's sowing into you his spiritual gifts that God has sent for him to sow. Amen. All right. Give you a scripture reference for that. 2 Chronicles 20:20. It says, like I said, a lot of times I don't wait for you to get to the scripture. So just write it down or just listen up. 2 Chronicles 20:20. It says, as they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat. Now, Jehoshaphat was the apostolic source or the spiritual leader of that day. Jehoshaphat stood and said, O ye, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. When you believe and act on what the apostle and the prophet has said, you are showing honor. When he said believe his prophets and so shall you prosper, that word believe also has the connotation is when you believe in something, you're going to also act on what you believe. So it's a twofold. It's not just, well, I believe, but I don't act. To fully believe it, you need to act on it. Praise God. I'm getting ahead of myself, but one of the greatest levels of dishonor is when a minister ministers to his congregation and his people, or when an apostolic prophetic anointing is present and you're in the midst of getting apostolic instruction. When you don't act on the word that was preached year after year, if you're a pastor or your apostle is sharing things with you and you don't never act on it, that's probably one of the greatest levels of disrespect that can take place, because you're not acting on what you believe. Amen. The people will honor a prophetic gift by obeying his voice. When God honors us with his presence, all that God is, all that God has, and all that God can do shows up. This is the manifestation of God, and it's referred to as his glory. You want God's glory to be manifested. Amen. That's so very important. God's government is built on the foundation of apostles and prophets. That's so very important that we understand this. We're going to talk a little bit about God's government, because it's so vital that we know that God's government is set up properly. Amen. Ephesians 2 and 20 says, and are built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. But let me just get in scripture right quick. I don't have it written down, but I want to share this. Give me a second here. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Give me a second. Isaiah 9 and 6. Okay. It says in Isaiah 9 and 6, for unto us a child is born. It's talking about Jesus. A son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Almighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And it says in verse 7, of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and with justice. From henceforth forever, the zeal of the Lord will perform this. So here this scripture is talking about that the government of God is on the shoulders of Jesus. You know, he is the chief cornerstone. And then underneath Jesus, you have the fivefold ministry gifts coming out of Ephesians 2 and 20. And it says, and I already read, you know, are built upon the foundation of the apostle and the prophet, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. And in 1 Corinthians 12 and 28 says, and God set some in the church, firstly apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles and gifts and healings and helps, governments, diversities and tongues. Okay, listen up. When the apostolic and prophetic gifts are not being honored properly and are not set in place properly in their proper position as apostolic leaders, positioned first to establish a heaven to earth connection, we could not and would not be seeing the manifestations and the demonstrations take place that we're seeing today. Okay? When the apostolic is out of place, it violates God's government, God's divine order. One of the things I'll be talking about a lot is God's government and God's order, God's protocol. You know, that's very important. You know, Jesus being first in rank and first in order. You know, and then you have apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Every pastor needs to be under an apostolic leader. That's part of God's government. You know, that's lining yourself up properly to where you're getting fed from your apostle, who's getting fed from God, who's receiving godly information because of that heaven to earth connection. And now your people are also getting fed the same spiritual meat that you'll be getting fed, and that just causes a flow. Amen? A flow, and that's so very important. If God's government is not set up properly, it violates God's divine order or his protocol. When divine order, listen up, is restored, the supernatural will not be inhibited or will not be restricted, but will flow freely, properly flowing freely from heaven to earth, having no kinks in the holes to stop the flow. Amen. You want the flow of God's anointing to flow properly down. And in order for that to happen, honor has to be established. Honor has to be in place, praise God, because that's the only way it's going to flow the way it should be. Honor, listen up, honor is the structure of order. I'm going to say that again. Honor is the structure of order. When you have honor being displayed, there's got to be some order, because honor will not flow without order. Amen? God's divine order. When you walk in honor, you will follow divine order. When you walk in honor, you will flow in divine order and not usurp authority. Step outside of the boundaries. Stay in the confines of God's government. Amen? I can remember one situation years ago where, there were some people who were in a teaching session, and the person that was teaching the class said a few things. I might have talked about this in the last week or two, that he may have gotten one or two words kind of misconstrued, but everybody should have known what he was talking about. Well, they felt that was their place to correct him. And what they didn't know, in benoit of them, was that Apostle Thompson had just walked into the class and sat in the back of the class. And while they were trying to make their corrections, he stood up. It was in the school of ministry, charter class, matter of fact. And he said, "Excuse me, sir." The instructor stepped aside and he got up to the podium and says, "No student will be correcting an instructor. If an instructor needs to be corrected, I'm the one that's going to correct him. You know, you're out of order, because that's not the way God's government flows. You know, if you think you know more than the instructor, well, then I'll give you your money back and dismiss you from the school." And from that day, about 6 or 7 students never came back. But that was an important lesson I learned. You know, there's always an order that has to be followed. And when you get out of order, you're out of honor. Amen. All right. God is restoring divine order back to his church so that God's government can function properly. When divine order, which is part of God's government, is restored, the supernatural will not be inhibited or will be unrestricted, because the supernatural flows freely where divine order is established. All that God is, and I said this earlier, all that God has and all that God can do comes on the scene where divine order and God's government is established. All right. I'm going to read a little bit from Romans. I got time, but I want to hurry up and get this done. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Romans 13 chapter right quickly. There's some things I want to set in place. Okay. Romans 13:1 says, "Let every soul be subject to the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever resisted the power resisted the ordinance of God, and they that resisted shall receive to themselves damnation." Okay, verse 13:1 in Romans says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers," or you say to the higher authority, which is God. I'm going to read that from the Amplified. It says, "Therefore, this is actually verse 2. It says, he who resists or dishonors and set himself up against the authorities resists what God has appointed and arranged in divine order. And those who resist will bring down judgment upon themselves, receiving the penalty due them, both spiritually and physically." So it's very important that we follow divine order and recognize divine authority. Amen? Because that'll get you in trouble. You know, I always, when I'm asked to minister or go somewhere in an apostle's behalf, I want to find out who's in charge, who's in authority, so I can submit properly to that individual and never want to usurp authority. When you usurp authority, you go over somebody's head by doing something without authorization or saying something or overstepping somebody who's over authority over you. Amen? When you resist the power and authority of God, you resist divine order, God's authority, which is the ordinance of God. And you receive to yourself damnation, which is the curse, sickness, sin, poverty, no manifestations, no miracles, and no deliverance will take place when you're out of order to that degree. But when you do not resist, but yield to and give way to divine order, submit yourselves to it, which is God's government being properly set up in the church and society, you are submitting yourselves to the ordinances or to the government and authorities of God. Okay, and because of that, now you can receive to yourself the blessing, which is the reciprocal of the curse, which is God's glory, God's manifested presence, all that God is, all that God has, and all that God can do now will take place and manifest in your life. When people walk away from, then when that happens, people will walk away from your services healed. People will be getting out of wheelchairs, throwing their canes on their stage, throwing their crutches on the stage, you know. People in deathbeds are going to get up and rise. Why? Because what's happening is God's power is flowing, and it's flowing freely. And there's no kinks in the holes or no kinks in the power line. And that's what you want. Amen. But it's all about understanding authority, understanding power, understanding ranks, levels, and flowing in proper divine order. And my time is running, so I need to hurry up. Okay, this is important, and I already talked about the reciprocation. Honor is reciprocation in terms of how the anointing is received and how people then now act on what has been released. I'm going to repeat that. Honor is reciprocation in terms of how the anointing is received and how people then act on what has been released. In ministry, there needs to be reciprocation, where people are sowing into a gift and receiving impartation instead of established business contracts with no impartation. And one of the things that the author talks about is, you know, how a lot of times when a person goes to do ministry at another church, there's a 10 or 12 page contract. Stay, do this, and if you do this, we're going to do this, where there's no honor being released and no impartation, no honor being given and no impartation being released, because it's all a business contract instead of, you know, you honoring the gift that God sent. Amen. When you honor a gift properly, the apostolic source God has placed in your life, you will receive benefits, blessings, favor, and anointing from that's on that gift. Impartation should take place, and blessings will be released. This is the whole concept of what spiritual fathering is all about. Elijah was the spiritual father of Elijah. And because Elijah honored Elijah by serving him, by being everywhere Elijah was, he received a double portion transfer of the impartation on Elijah, and Elijah's mantle fell upon Elijah. You know, there were times Elijah would tell Elijah, you know, I'm going to Bethel, wait here for me. And he says, as the Lord living and my soul's living, he says, I'm not leaving you. I'm staying with you because God has assigned me. And you see, that's so important. I just said, God has assigned me to you. If God has assigned you to a man of God, what are you doing leaving him? What are you doing going somewhere else trying to establish your own ministry? Now, if he releases you and say it's time, well, then that's different. But if God assigned, I've been here 35, 36 years, I don't remember. I'm not going nowhere because I know this is where God has placed me. And I know for a fact I'm doing more good as working in the ministry of helps here at Word of Life Christian Center than if I were to start my own church with about 15 to 20 members. You know, I'm fulfilling an agenda, an apostolic agenda, and helping my man of God. And God will bless you for that, because as you honor your man of God, God will honor you. Okay, and I talked about spiritual fathering. This next statement comes out of a book, We Have Not Many Fathers. It says here, sons and daughters must realize that the hands of the father releases the blessing to them. When I say father, I'm talking about your spiritual father. Sons and daughters must realize that the hands of the father releases the blessing to them. Furthermore, sons and daughters must honor, respect, and acknowledge that the father has been empowered to impart and to convey the blessing they need. And that's so very important. 1 Corinthians 4 and 15 says, "For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you have not many fathers. For in Christ, Paul says, I have begotten you through the gospel." You know, whomever your spiritual father is who have begotten you in the gospel, that's the person you need to follow. That's the person you need to serve. That's the person you need to honor, because your blessing is at his feet, where you need to be listening, learning, and receiving from him. The sons of the fathers should receive the blessing, the gift, the benefits, the favor, the anointing, the mantle that's on their spiritual father, instead of receiving a curse for being bastard children because of their acts of dishonor. Amen. All right. Let me read another verse of scripture, because my time is moving. Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 and 6, the last two verses in the book of Malachi in the Old Testament. It says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet," who is an apostolic source. I just threw that in. "Before the coming of that great and dreadful day of the Lord." Verse 6, "And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." God in these last days is restoring father-son relationships. And you say, okay, what all that's got to do with honor? That's got to do everything with honor. Because God has put somebody in your life that now you can honor, that now you can serve. Going back to a statement I said a week ago or so, you know, talking about, come back to me. Aaron. Aaron was the high priest. And when the oil was poured upon Aaron, it went down his head, his beard, his arms, every part of his body. And when you're connected properly, that all is going to flow down in your life. You might be the hands, you might be the hip, you might even be the little toe under the high priest, under the apostolic source. But if you stay connected, the all or the anointing that's flowing down through him is going to eventually make its way to you. Amen. And that's so very important that we understand that. All right. In these last days, we are in these last days that we are in, God has sent that spirit of Elijah, which is a fathering spirit, back into the earth to turn the hearts of the sons and the daughters from bastard style fatherless ministries. I said the word bastard type fatherless ministries to the hearts ministries to the hearts of their God-given spiritual fathers, the apostolic source, so that they might receive the impartation, the double portion anointing, and the blessing that's on his life. Amen? Listen up. Ministry gifts need to be respected and honored so that the revelation and impartation can be released. Honor the gift that God has sent to you will release the Father's blessing in your life. But read it again. Ministry gifts needs to be respected and honored so that the revelation and impartation can be released. Honor the gift that God has sent you will release the blessing in your life. Amen. If people don't honor the gift, the apostolic source was on them, the blessing won't be released to those and the gifts that God has sent for them to be imparted into their lives. This is why God's government is so important and why it's being restored to the church. It's why Apostle is so very adamant about setting in place and setting in order apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, which is the government of God. So that basically that's for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of their faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God. Hallelujah. Unto a perfect or mature man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You know, that we henceforth be no longer children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. I'm not going to read it all, but that's the purpose, because the only way I've seen blessing beyond blessing. People get delivered, people getting healed, people raised from the dead because apostolic order was in place. But prior to that, I knew it was possible, but before I was under the apostolic and submitted to the apostolic, those things I never did see. Amen. Because it hindered the flow of God's blessing because government was not set up properly. All right. Because my time is flowing, I'm making sure. Now, we already read a little bit on Romans 13:1 about resisting the power. And you don't want to resist the power. You don't want to resist the ordinances of God. Amen. God is a God of order. God is a God of order. He set up authorities because he wants divine order in his kingdom. Okay? When I said authorities, I'm talking about those that fivefold ministry. I'm going to read it again. God is a God of order. He sets up authorities in his government because he wants divine order in his kingdom. Without some form of order, there would be chaos, confusion, and anarchy, which will result in there being dishonor and disrespect in the land for those in authority. And you don't want to have dishonor and disrespect for people in authority. That's what happens then is kind of what happened with Miriam. Miriam disrespected Moses because Moses married an Ethiopian woman. And that's going to be something I'm going to talk about in the next session. But because of Miriam's dishonor, God had to set her and Aaron straight. He called them on the carpet because of their disrespect and their dishonor to Moses, who was his mouthpiece, who was his apostolic leader in the land. And he was the one that led them out of Egypt into the promised land. Amen. All right, it says, therefore, now this is coming from, therefore we must be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake, not just because of consciousness, but because it is the right thing to do. All right. For this cause or this reason, we pay tribute for God's minister attending continually upon these very things. OK, listen up. Render therefore to all their dues what's owed them. Tribute to whom tribute is due. Custom to whom custom is due. Fear to whom fear is due. And honor to whom honor is due. We're going to talk about that more in the next session. Owe no man nothing but to love him. For he that loveth one another hath fulfilled all the law. You know, so it's very important that we respect and honor God's delegated authority. It's very important that we recognize God's government is being set up, and we need to fall in line with divine order of that government so that the blessing can come down freely upon our lives. All of this is a part of honor, you know. Not only just the five fold ministry gifts, but every person in your life, like I said, who is a life source, who has been a blessing to you. So remember this and begin to show honor, you know, just like the lady did. Immediately after she heard the clash, she went and she sowed honor, and she'll be blessed for it. Amen. See you next week.